27 at the time on the Bible of the Judges. So we're on the last of the judges. We made it through all of them. Last time we talked about Eli. We covered some of Samuel last time, his beginnings. We're going to review just very briefly because we have a lot of reading to do tonight if we can get through it all. So let's go ahead and get started. A little review of what we're going to do this evening, or preview. Samuel, as we said, he's the last of the judges. All those we went over. He ruled Israel immediately before the beginning of the kingdom, when the king was ordained. He was dedicated to God's service at birth by his mother Hannah. He was raised in the sanctuary in Shiloh by Eli the priest. He reformed Israel's idolatrous worship, and he rallied them to throw off the Philistines and the various conflicts they had. He was known as a seer or a prophet. In his old age, he tried to appoint his worthless sons, as we're told, as judges, but the people demanded a king. They rejected them and demanded a king. We're going to see that. He anointed Saul as the first king, and he has various conflicts with Saul. He anoints David as the second king, but Saul is still ruling when David's anointed. And then he finally passes away in a verse study. So let's go ahead and start off again from 1 Samuel. We see that Samuel is first promised to God, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Again, the first four chapters we covered last week, but I want to review just a couple of verses here and there. Again, verse 9. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. We see he's born in verse 20. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. In verse 24, we see that Samuel is brought to Eli. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, and an ephah of flour, and the skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Chapter 2, in verse 11, we see that he is left with Eli. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah. Again, that's his father. And the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. So here at a very young age, he's left by his parents as he was promised to be in the Lord's service. Next part, we're told of Eli's worthless sons. If he was here for last week's, we're told all the things that they had done. We're told next of God's prophecy of Eli's son's death because of the worthlessness that they were. In chapter 3, as we read last time, Samuel's actually called the first time that he hears from God. We went over that chapter last time. Chapter 4, the Philistines capture the ark. Here we see that Eli's sons, as prophesied, do die. And we see that also Eli, he fell backwards, broke his neck, and he died as well in chapter 4. So here in chapter 5, we have the Philistines having this ark. They've captured this ark, and they have it. And God sends a lot of curses upon them, and tumors and so forth, because they have this ark. And so they're grieved over this. Chapter 6 of 1 Samuel, the Philistines return the ark to get rid of them, to rid of these curses that have been brought upon them. And then chapter 7, we again hear about Samuel. And this is going to be a big part of his life, chapter 7. We're going to see here that Samuel judges Israel. We're going to see that it's been 20 years since the ark was returned. Now, for your own study, has it been 20 years since the ark was returned and then he judges? Or is this judgment he's about to do, does this go on during these 20 years? And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's go ahead and read chapter 7 and see a good part of his life here. Again, the ark's been returned. And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his sons, Eleazar, to have charge of the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark was lodged at Kiriath-Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And next we're told about Samuel. So does it mean it's been 20 years, or that was kind of a summary, and here's these 20 years? That's for your own study. Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." And so the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. The men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Bethkar. Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shin, called its name Ebenezer, for he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the land of the Lord was against, or the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. And there was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there. And there also he judged Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. So he goes back to his hometown. This time has passed. And we're told all these years of his life he's doing all these things. Okay. Now we see, in this next chapter 8, we're going to see that Samuel tries to put his sons next as judges. He's got two sons. But Israel wants a king. And note the things we mostly know of Samuel. What's some of the things we know of Samuel? When you think of Samuel, what's some of the things you note of him? Any major things? He anoints Saul, right? Has he done that yet? No. We know his struggles with Saul. And we know he anoints David. But those things have not happened yet. But he's lived a majority of his life. That's one of the things that stood out to me, that the things we most know him for has not happened. Again, most of his life has passed, and we see that he's an old man. Let's go to chapter 8. Again, this chapter 7 was most of that time. Verse 1, when Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel. The name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice, so they followed much like Eli's sons in that regard. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together, and they came to Samuel at Ramah, in his hometown. And they said to him, "Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." Samuel prayed to the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that they have done from this day, I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Now then, obey their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So he's going to give them a forewarning of what they're asking for. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons, he'll appoint them to his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and to run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war, and the equipment of his chariots, He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and olive orchards. Give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, that there shall be a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. We'll stop right there. What do they think these judges have been doing this whole time? Exactly what they want. Well, this is what they want, and this, and they want a king to do this instead of these judges. This is what these judges have been doing. Verse 21, and when Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, obey their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, go every man to his city. So they're going to do these things. Even though the things they want, they've been having done to them. We'll see a review of the judges here in just a minute. So Samuel talks to them later. In chapter 9, we see that Saul is chosen to be king. For lack of time, we won't read through there. We'll kind of skip a place here and there. Chapter 10, Saul is anointed as king. We'll read verse 1. Again, Samuel's here. Samuel took a flask of oil. He poured it on his head and kissed him and said, has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And throughout the rest of this chapter here, he gives Saul some signs to kind of confirm to Saul, you're the man. God's appointed you and so forth. Verse 17, Saul is proclaimed as king. Now Samuel called the people together, the Lord at Mizpah. And he said to the people of Israel, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought you up out of Israel, or brought up Israel out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But today you have rejected your God, who saves you from all your calamities and distresses, and you have said to him, set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its clans, and the clan of the Matrites was taken by lot. And Saul the son of Kish was taken by lot. And when they sought him, he cannot be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, is there a man still to come? And the Lord said, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. Then they ran and took him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upwards. We learn about Saul. He's a tall guy. He stood out. And Samuel said to all these people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted, long live the king. And Samuel told the people the rights and duties of the kingship. And he wrote them in a book, and he laid it up before the Lord. Then Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his home. Saul also went to his home at Gibeah. And with him went men of valor whose hearts God had touched. And we see in verse 27 that some worthless fellow said, how can this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no present, but he held his peace. So not all were liking this. Most were, but not all. Chapter 11, we see that Saul goes to battle and he defeats the Ammonites. And then we see the kingdom is renewed. Verse 12, after this war, this defeat of the Ammonites. And the people said to Samuel, who is it that said, shall Saul reign over us? So they're going back to those people who rejected him. Bring the men, that we may put them to death. But Saul said, not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has worked salvation in Israel. And Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal, and there renew the kingdom. And so all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. So here we see Saul's officially put in as king. Chapter 12, we have Samuel's farewell address. Now here we're going to have that review of Israel's times that includes those passages. Remember, they wanted someone to lead them and deliver them and so forth, which they had been getting, but they still wanted a king to do it instead of judges. And so Samuel reminds them. Samuel said to all of Israel, "Behold, I have obeyed your voice in all that you have said to me and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walks before you, and I am old and gray." What else do we know about him? He's old, he's gray, but he must have a really long lock of gray hair. No razor shall touch his head, and here he is old. "Behold, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my youth until this day. Here I am, testify against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? Testify against me, and I will restore it to you." And they said, "You have not defrauded us or oppressed us or taken anything from any man's hand." And he said to them, "The Lord is witnessed against you, and his anointed is witnessed this day, that you have not found anything in my hand." And they said, "He is witnessed." And so they agree that he's been a just person. And Samuel said to the people in verse 6, "The Lord is witness, who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous deeds of the Lord that he performed for you and your fathers. When Jacob went into Egypt and the Egyptians oppressed them, then your fathers cried out to the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, and he sold them into the hands of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, into the hand of king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord. We have served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hands of our enemies, that we may serve you.' And the Lord sent Zerubbabel and Barak and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you lived in safety. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us.' When the Lord your God was your king, and now behold the king whom you have chosen, for whom you have asked, behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. Now therefore, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord, that he may send thunder and rain, and you shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking for yourselves a king." And so Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord. And we're also told they feared Samuel. All the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins this evil, to ask for ourselves a king." And Samuel said to the people, "Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you should be swept away, both you and your king." So his farewell address here, talking about all that had been done for them, been done for their fathers and forefathers, yet they always turned away. Chapter 13. Saul fights the Philistines. He also makes an unlawful sacrifice, and he's rejected with another king promised, as we'll see. Chapter 13 and verse 8. He waited 7 days. Again, this fight with the Philistines has just happened. He makes this unlawful sacrifice. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. So he's waiting on Samuel. Samuel doesn't show up. The people were scattering from him. And so Saul said, "Bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. Now, why is this wrong for him to do? He wasn't a priest. Verse 10. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. If he just would have waited a little longer. Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and I offered the burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, for which he commanded you. For the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." So we again see this rejection, the first rejection, I should say, of Saul, and this promise of another king. Chapter 14, Jonathan is introduced to us, and he defeats the Philistines. We see that Saul makes a rash vow. We see that Saul continues to fight some more battles, fighting the enemies of Israel more. And we come to chapter 15. Well-known chapter. We start out by Samuel telling Saul what God wants. Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Someone, anyone, what did Saul do?
He kept the best.
He spared some lives. He kept the best. Samuel comes to him later and questions him, what did Saul tell him?
Kept it for offering.
First of all, he says, "I have done all that God had asked." And he didn't. Okay? And then Samuel has to point out to him, "You didn't do this. What's this? I hear these sheep over here. What's this going on?" Verse 24, Saul admits to sinning. Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words." He gives a reason. "Because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may bow before the Lord." So he says, "I did wrong. Pardon me. Come back with me and let's move on." Verse 26. Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." And as Samuel turned to go away, Saul seized the skirt of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you." So again, we see this second and final rejection of Saul here. Chapter 16. David is anointed even though Saul still reigns. Saul's still in power. But we see he goes to him and anoints David. Let's read that. "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you grieve over Saul?'" So he's torn up about this. He's upset that Saul's not done as he should have done. "How long are you going to grieve over Saul, since I've rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Let's also remember, what was Saul's stature? He's a big guy. He's a tall guy. And this would be in, we'll see David's opposite here. Verse 2. Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded, came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves, come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now, this takes some time to do this, obviously. I don't know the time frame there on the days to do these things. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And we've already been told he's looking for a man after his own heart, right? Well, his first rejection of Saul. Verse 8. And Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." So it sounds like even Jesse didn't think that David was going to be worthy of this. Otherwise, he would have had him there. Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. And he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord says, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, for Saul's still in power. Chapter 17. David and Goliath. Before that, David is in Saul's service for a while. David and Goliath happens in chapter 17. We won't read through that. Chapter 18. Again, we're brought back to Jonathan. We're told about David and Jonathan's friendship, how close they were. Beginning of chapter 18. And this jealousy that Saul has toward David begins in chapter 18. End of chapter 18, we see that David marries Michal. Chapter 19, we see Saul trying to kill David. He's jealous of him. He knows he's going to be the new anointed. Chapter 21. Or excuse me, chapter 20. Jonathan warns David. Remember, they have this close friendship. But he warns his friend David about this. Chapter 21. See David and the holy bread and the story there. We see David fleeing to Gath. Chapter 22. We see David is the care of Adullam. We see that Saul kills the priests of Nob, so he's still ongoing with his wrath in these things. We see in chapter 23, David saves the city of Keilah. Again, not having much word about our character tonight. Saul pursues David more in chapter 23. 24, David meets up with Saul, and we see that he spares his life. We know this happens later on, but in chapter 25 and verse 1, "Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in his house at Ramah," back in his hometown. So kind of just a small little ending to him. But you see, most of his stuff he did seemed to be during, before the things we know him for, when he had gotten this great age and so forth. That one chapter, chapter 7. But he was always there, always reminding these people that they asked for these kings, and then he's also reminding King Saul, anyway, you're doing wrong. Questions or comments?